Today. Psalm chapter 119, verse number 4, the Bible says, unto the upright there ariseth. The Bible says, there ariseth light in the darkness. And then Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 31, a well-known passage of scripture that I've been meditating in my spirit on this week. The Bible says that the prophet Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. What a beautiful passage of scripture says, if we will wait on the Lord, if we'll be with the Lord, if we'll be in the presence of the Lord, that he'll renew our strength and we will mount up with wings as eagles. And today I want to speak just for a few moments what the Lord has put on my heart. We're going to dismiss our children at this time and the junior high. So kids and junior high, the kids that have been checked in can be dismissed to their class. And also those that are middle school or junior high, you're dismissed at this time as well. Today we want to speak on this subject, rise above. Rise above. Amen. How many believe God has a word for you today that he can speak through his word to your heart? Amen. Let's just open our spirits to receive from God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and its power today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the transformation of the gospel. And today, Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. And we're asking, Lord, that you would speak to us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can hear from your word, your voice, and your direction, inspiration, and insight. And I pray in the name of the Lord that over the next few moments you would speak to us and then confirm your word with signs following in the house today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I love, this helps me sometimes when I can't sleep, is to jump on YouTube and watch a biography. I enjoy watching biographies of interesting lives. There are some people who lives are interesting because of what they've experienced, what they've been through. But most people who receive a biography about themselves are folks who have accomplished something significant. I especially like the biographies of people who came out of obscurity to accomplish something significant. One of my favorite historical figures is President Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, who was the only president who invented something and got a patent. He's the only president we've ever had with a patent. He also is the one that signed the Homestead Act that enabled people to receive pieces of this land for themselves and farm that land. Of course, we know him much better as the president who made the Emancipation Proclamation, thereby abolishing the stain of slavery on our nation, despite strong resistance against that. He also defeated the Confederate uprising, and it wasn't a small uprising, it was a massive uprising of the southern states against the Union. And he carried the U.S. through the most grievous war in its history, and successfully brought our nation through that difficult war, that uprising that threatened to destroy the fabric of our nation, and he was able to preserve the Union. It's a fascinating story. I think number one or number two greatest president ever who was able to accomplish all of these things. But what makes his story even more fascinating is the fact that Abraham Lincoln was able to rise above so much in his life to accomplish this. He was raised in poverty. You know the story. In a one-room log house was he raised. He had no formal education. Throughout his entire life, he had only 12 months of formal education. He lost his mother when he was a young man who he was very close to at 9 years of age. That's dramatic for an individual. And suffered throughout his life with prevailing depression that would have destroyed many people. Also, he experienced many political failures in his life. This is just a few of the things, first of all, about his environment, and secondly, about circumstances that he had to face, that in order to accomplish anything significant, he had to be able to rise above that. Another great figure that's more contemporary is a very famous, well-known, wealthy lady named Oprah Winfrey. And most of you know her as an actress, as a talk show host. She's also a philanthropist. She is the CEO and chairwoman of Harpo Production and Oprah Winfrey Network. And she is the first black female billionaire. Quite a list of accomplishments for this person. But when you read the story of how she was raised and what she came from, it's even more fascinating because she was born into poverty in Jim Crow South in Mississippi, a single mother on welfare. She was kind of transferred back and forth as she was a small one between her mother and her grandmother. Her grandmother was physically abusive to her, and finally she moved with her mother and was raised in poverty in Milwaukee. When she was 9 years old, she was raped. When she was 13 years old, as a child, she ran away from home, and at 14, she became pregnant with a child that passed away as an infant. Not really the beginning or the environment or the setting that you would anticipate somebody who accomplished so much and became so significant in culture. The circumstances, the situation, the environment that these individuals were a part of and around did not hinder them from accomplishing something significant, but only because they were able to rise above. They didn't stay. They didn't allow it to determine who they were going to be or what they were going to end up their life being. I heard this phrase this year a couple times, and I had to look it up. And somebody said, "I got it out the mud." I don't know if you've heard that before. Have you heard that? He got it out the mud. I had to look up the Urban Dictionary to find out what it means, because I'm like, what are they talking about? He got it out the mud. It refers to someone who only had themselves to rely on to become stable financially, physically, and mentally. They drug themselves out the mud with no family or friends. So it's kind of a more culturally relevant way of saying they were able to rise above the experiences in the environment of their past. Now, the reason these stories are fascinating and unique is because statistics say that the vast majority of people become a product of their environment. In other words, they do not rise above. Whatever it is that they are raised around ends up typically determining what they're going to be as a person. Whether it's somebody who was raised in a family culture of alcohol or addictions, or raised in a cycle of poverty, or a life, family, and culture of crime. We've heard it used or referenced before in church as a generational curse. But the reality is, the vast majority of individuals cannot rise above because they end up inheriting or internalizing the darkness of their environment, and it becomes who they are. So we celebrate those who are able to rise above, those who don't allow the culture of their surroundings and the environment that they find themselves in to determine who they are going to be. Now, the reason you and I talk about this and celebrate this today is because fundamentally the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news about the ability to rise above. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus came to establish, is about those who are able to rise above. Now, if you want to understand this, you must realize that the gospel starts with Jesus Christ. The gospel ends with Jesus Christ. It's the good news about Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then I want you to look at verse 5. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness, darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want to tell you what Jesus is. Jesus is about rising above. This passage where it says the darkness comprehended it not, if you look in other translations, it says the darkness has not overcome it, or the darkness cannot extinguish it, because Jesus, although he was a man, the Bible says that he was a light. He came into a culture that was characterized by darkness, and he came in as light. And while the darkness was no doubt seeking to extinguish or overcome the light or bring it back down to its level, the Bible says that Jesus, that the light could not be comprehended, it could not be overcome, it could not be extinguished. No matter how dark the darkness was, no matter how prevailing that environment was into which the Christ child was born, he was light who arose from the darkness and did not allow the darkness to pull him down and to extinguish or to overcome the light. And the good news is, amen, as Jesus was able to transcend darkness and rise above the influence and the power of darkness, in verse 12, John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, Jesus said, I'm shining in darkness. I'm rising above darkness. I'm not going to be comprehended or overcome by darkness. And if you believe on me, you can rise above it as well. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you can rise above the influence of the environment of darkness in our world as well. Amen. And so the gospel is, the good news is this, regardless of the environment that you were raised in, regardless of the environment you find yourself in now, regardless of the influences of our culture today, regardless of the influences of the circumstances or storm that you find yourself in today, the good news is this. The Lord promises that you can rise above. He came so that you could rise above darkness. Amen. And when we talk about darkness, the Bible teaches in the first passage of Scripture, the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis, it says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is the condition of creation prior to God beginning to speak. It was darkness and it was chaos. When we speak of darkness today, obviously our immediate thought comes to, well, I can't see. I can't navigate. I don't know what's around me. It creates confusion and uncertainty. And so darkness includes these, confusion, uncertainty. But also the Bible speaks of spiritual darkness that includes the corruption of sin and the flesh and filth and evil. And the Bible says in Psalms, such as sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. The Bible teaches that those who reject the Word of God and reject the counsel of God, they find themselves sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. They're being bound with affliction and bound with iron. So in a spiritual sense, those who have not found the Lord, those who have not found the counsel of His Word, those who are in rebellion against the Word of God are in a spiritual darkness. The Bible speaks of the kingdom of Satan and of this world. It uses these words. It says the rulers of the darkness of this world. When it speaks of spiritual wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places are the rulers of darkness of this world. And Colossians chapter 11 verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible declares that this world, with its influence of sin, with the perversion of the flesh, with the spirit of the world, brings a prevailing environment of darkness. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so the Lord said, I was not overcome with darkness. Light came into the world and it could not be extinguished by darkness. And so guess what? I'm calling you to be a light, to come up forth out of darkness, to rise above the influences of darkness, so that you can complete and be a part of what God has called you to be and to accomplish in this world. But it does not happen by you being influenced or impacted by your environment. It happens when you rise above darkness into his marvelous light. How many are glad that God's called you out of this spiritual darkness? So the message of the gospel is that you don't have to stay in the darkness or let that darkness of this world get into you or into your heart, because you've been called to rise above. As we mentioned, the three forces that produce the spiritual darkness, it's the kingdom of the enemy. Satan has an agenda on the earth, and that is to reject all of the authority of God, to reject the word of God, and to inspire rebellion against God. That's what Satan did from the beginning. That's what he still does, is seek to inspire rebellion against God. He is the prince of darkness. But we also have the spirit of the world that is influenced by Satan that appeals to humanity. And then we have our flesh, which is categorically appealed to by lusts and by the things of this world. Think about this. Your spirit man can only be aroused or appetized by spiritual thing, but your carnal man can only be aroused by things in this world, and this world then is influenced by the prince of darkness. So the effects of this darkness we find in our culture today. And when you look in Romans chapter 1, the word of God teaches us about the descent of humanity into darkness. I know this is kind of a little bit of a discouraging part of the sermon, but it's going to get better, all right? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that people who glorified not God, and they weren't thankful to God, they didn't give him his rightful position, in their vain imagination, the Bible says their foolish heart began to be darkened. And as their foolish heart was darkened, they began to worship anything else but God, and God gave them up to uncleanness through their lust, through immorality, and through sexual perversion. If you read Romans chapter 1, it explains it specifically. It talks about unrighteousness, fornication, which is sexual activity outside of marriage, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, enviousness, backbiters, despiteful, proud people, boasters, people who invent evil things, those that are disobedient to parents, those that make covenants and then break covenants, those who have affections that are no longer natural, those that are unmerciful, and those who do evil things and even have pleasure watching other people do evil things. The Bible says this is the descent into darkness. And I want to tell you, I want to sound a clarion call and remind you, if you don't already know, that the culture that we live in today is a culture that has been darkened by immorality, by sin, by Satan's agenda, by this world, and by our fleshly desires and the perversions thereof. We live in a culture where celebrities are defining morality. Can you imagine that? They're deciding what's right and wrong. They're deciding what's acceptable and unacceptable. And you got people like Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus that are telling us how to live, how to act, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. This is the darkness, the moral sickness of the culture that we have are living in. And when you live in this darkness, the fruit is dark and miserable. It leads to disgusting things in an individual's life. The fruit of unrighteousness is tragic. Amen. This is old-fashioned preaching. But this is the kind of preaching that'll save souls. The fruit of unrighteousness is tragic. But I want to tell you something about the church of the living God. The Lord said, I will build my church, that the gates of hell will not be, oh, I feel it right now. The gates of hell will not be able to hold back the forward motion of the church. The church is the ecclesia, the ones that have been called out. The church is not a group of people who are of this world, but the church is a group of people who, through the empowerment of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, have risen above this world. We have been called out of this world. Amen. And I want to remind you today that the church is not to become a product of our surrounding environment. We are to rise above it. We are to be a light where darkness cannot overcome it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to let you know that if you stay down in the darkness of this world, you cannot know the perfect will of God. The only way you can know the will of God is you've got to rise above that. You've got to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God take and lift you up out of that, so you can know and understand and embrace and grasp the perfect will of God. Amen. How many here want to rise above? God never intended. Amen. The church to be in the world and of the world. He intended us to rise above this world, its values and its lifestyle. But notice what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter speaks that there would be false prophets and false teachers in the last time that would be among us. And they would be those that would walk after the flesh, the lust of uncleanness. In verse 10, it says they would reject authority. They would be full of self-will because they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Verse 19, they promise liberty, but they become servants of corruption and they're brought back into bondage. Verse number 20 says this, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, after they rose above through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And so God never intended for you to rise above this world, its values, and its lifestyle, and then get tangled back up again. His will is for us to rise above, the influence and the power of this world. And we live in a world now, unfortunately, where there is a philosophy of Christianity and church that says if we want to reach this world, we need to be more like this world or understand or embrace their philosophy, their values, and their morality. I want to tell you, this is not the will of God. This is not the Word of God. And anybody that says anything like that is a false prophet according to the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. God's plan for the church is to be called out. God's plan for the church is to rise above. And while the world is changing what morality is and what's acceptable and not acceptable, until, as the Bible declared, they call good evil and evil good. And if we as the church try to, in this darkness, influence the world, we can't influence the world. You can only influence if you rise above. Amen. And so God has called us to rise above the influence and the power of this world. Praise God. Amen. And so this is holiness. It's not based on our knowledge, but A.W. Tozer says it's based on the resurrected Jesus Christ indwelling us and changing us into his likeness. Now, the fascinating biblical word sanctification, anybody know this word sanctification? The word justification means that you are put in a position where you're right with God. Now, the Bible teaches us that this work is done through the cross. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It's his blood and the power of the good news that makes us right with God. So guess what? When a person is born again, they are right in the sight of the Lord because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's give the Lord thanks for that. This is the powerful reality. But then God's plan was not to save you and leave you in darkness. God's plan was not to save you and leave you in the influence of your addictions and your sin, but it was to cause you to rise up so that he could use you powerfully in these last days. And so the word sanctification is something that happens subsequent or after that justification. And sanctification is not about getting us saved. Justification is what got us saved. But sanctification is about what is giving us empowerment to fulfill God's purpose in our life. And so through this process, we become changed. We become transformed. formed. We begin to rise above the environment we were raised around. We begin to rise up above the influences of this world. We begin to rise up above the contamination and the corruption of this world. We begin to rise up out of the entanglement that we were around and we understand, and we begin to rise up, and God says, I can use you. I can empower you. My spirit can flow through you. You can make a difference in the world. You can have vision. You can be empowered if you will rise above it. If you stay in it, I can't use you. But if you will rise above it, then I can use you. And I want to thank God for the power of his word to bring sanctification. When I look through scripture, I see three things that bring sanctification to us. I know this is a little bit Bible study-ish, but I have 9 minutes left and we'll finish up here. The Bible teaches that the Word of God sanctifies us. Teaches that the Spirit of God sanctifies us. The Bible teaches that we are sanctified in prayer. These things, the Word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit, is what brings about sanctification in our life. It enables us to rise above. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, amen. The Word of God empowers us. The Spirit of God does its work in us. And when we pray, sanctification or washing or cleansing happens to us. Now, this is the last thing I want to say. I want to make this clear, drive this point home, and then we're going to pray together and let God do what he wants to do. Is some people look at this idea of sanctification or rising above, and they think about their environment or the values that they've been around or the things that they've allowed themselves to become entrapped in, addictions, habits, and so forth. And they get this image of rising above that they got to get themselves out the mud, that they've got to somehow find a way to climb up out of it through their effort and their work and their gaining understanding and to climb their way up out of the mud. But I want to tell you this. This is what I want to drop into your spirit. The Word of God, prayer, which is time in the presence of the Lord, and the Spirit of God will do the work for you. It's going to do the work for you. And some of you have been struggling with things in your life that you've sought to overcome, to rise above, and you find yourself still struggling with it. And you're like, maybe if I work harder, maybe if I try more, maybe if I be more determined, maybe if I write it down and have a New Year's resolution and have it tattooed on the inside of my eyelid or something, then that'll help me to rise above. I want to tell you, people who are trying to rise above in their own power are going to be extremely frustrated. You're not going to be able to do it. There has got to be a work of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God. You know what's happening right now while you're sitting listening to the Word of God is there's a scrubbing that's happening. There's a sanctification. The Bible says we're washed by the Word of God. That's why you don't need to just hear preaching that tickles your ear and makes you feel good. You need preaching that gets down in the crevices and the creases and behind the ears and begins to clean. Why? Because God wants to use you, and you're cleansed and washed by the Word of God. That's why you don't need less word in your life. You need more word. You don't need to read the Bible less. You need to read the Bible more. You don't need to go to church less. You need to go to church more. You don't need to hear less Bible study. You need to hear more Bible study, because the Word of God has the power to enable you to rise above. But I want to finish up here with that passage in Isaiah where the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. The Bible is saying here that there's something about being in the presence of the Lord that causes you to mount up. Now follow me here just for a second. The Bible speaks of the Spirit of God as wind, right? The word spirit and the word wind come from the exact same Greek word, pneuma. If you read the Greek Bible, you don't know if it's talking about spirit or wind, because it's the exact same word. In fact, John, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He says, the wind blows where it lists. You hear the sound of it or the voice of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Spirit is wind. And in the book of Acts chapter 2, create this connection. When the Spirit was first poured out, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. There is an absolute link between pneuma, spirit, wind, breath. These are all one in Scripture. And so the Bible is saying that when you wait upon the Lord, that you will mount up with wings as an eagle. So I did a little study on this, and what is this passage saying? What this is saying, you know how eagles have such broad wings, such a massive, massive wingspan. And what this passage is indicating is that when there is an updraft, the eagle doesn't even have to hardly flap his wings. He just puts out his wings, and the wind begins to lift the eagle, and the eagle then can begin to rise above whatever is around him. And I want to tell you today that the Spirit of the Lord, when you get in the presence of God, right now, some of you sit and think and try to figure things out and try to understand when the presence of the Lord begins to move. If you'll just sit there and say, okay, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm wanting your Spirit to do its work in me. If you'll wait upon the Lord, amen, he'll renew your strength. And secondly, you will begin to mount up, which means you're not even flapping your wings. You're just spreading it out. And the wind of the Spirit begins to cause you to rise above the situation, to rise above the circumstances, to rise above the life that has you trapped, the circumstances that have been dictating the direction and the flavor of your life. Something can begin to cause you to rise. I want to tell you right now that that's why the Spirit of the Lord is so important. That's why waiting on God is important. That's why spending time in the presence of the Lord, amen, is so important. And I know, because as we talk about this, we're not just talking about the world and its values and its systems. There's also darkness that comes circumstantially into our life as well. We're going through a set of circumstances that are stormy or dark. And it can be tests, trials, long-lasting sets of circumstances in a family, in physical health, financial, career, job situations that are dark and stormy. And what happens if we're not waiting on the Lord is instead of rising above the circumstances to be able to have perspective, you don't stop the storm, but you can rise above it. You can't stop the darkness that comes and the difficulty that comes into your life. The Lord never promised that he wasn't going to rain on the just. He said, I'll rain on just and unjust. That means there's storms coming to everybody. There's blessing coming. There's provision coming to everybody. But what makes the believer different is that in the midst of the storm, if we wait on the Lord, we'll mount up. We'll come up over. And so I read and I studied that what eagles can do is that when those storms come in. Now, you don't understand here like we do back where I'm from in Tennessee, the winds of a storm coming in. But when a storm comes in, it could be hot during the day, but you begin to feel those strong breezes coming, and you know, hey, there's a storm getting ready to wreck this place. There's a storm getting ready to rock this house, knock down trees, and it's coming. You can sense it. But what the eagle does is he doesn't have to furiously flap or try to find a place of safety. All he does is when those winds start to blow preceding the storm is put out his wings, and what does he do? He mounts up, and the winds of that storm, before the storm ever gets there, lifts the eagle up above the storm, so that above the clouds, above the turmoil, above the storms, above the hail, there sits the eagle. And I want to let you know right now that the will of the enemy is to get you stuck mentally and emotionally in what's happening around you. Gospel message is this, is that you can rise above it through the power of the Spirit.
You may not be able to make the storm stop. Only Jesus can say, peace be still. But through his spirit, you can rise above it. You can rise above the stress, the turmoil, the anxiety, amen, the depression, the fear. You have the power to rise above. Amen. I wonder if you could stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the power of the Word. And I'm thankful for what the Spirit of the Lord can do in just a moment. And the eagle doesn't have to flap aggressively or wear himself or herself out. The eagle recognizes the wind, stretches the wings, and thereby begins to mount up. Mount up above it. And I want to tell you right now that I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants to move in this place and bring revelation to somebody. The fabric of our circumstances can begin to darken our hearts to where we don't have as much faith as we had, to where we don't anticipate God's intervention. And what's happening is, in a very similar fashion as we talked about before, we begin to take on the characteristics of our environment, what we're going through, what we're facing. And you don't feel like an overcomer, you feel defeated. You don't feel like God's fighting for you. You see no evidence of it. Why? Because the environment, you find yourself down in it. You find yourself surrounded by it. And some of you may be here today and emotionally, mentally, you've allowed these types of things in your circumstances to get into your heart, get into your way of thinking. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this week and indicated, if you're not in the presence of the Lord, if you're not waiting on God, if you're not getting close to Him, it's going to be hard for you to rise above. It's going to be near impossible. And you're going to wonder why. Why do I feel like I'm in the middle of the storm? I'm a believer. Why do I feel like, why do I feel all the pull of the desires of the flesh like dragging me back down? Why do I feel that? What can I do? What can I do? Man, people are like, well, I wish there was like this new, innovative, creative answer and give me a book I can read and it's just going to flip my mind and everything will change. And let me go hear this great speaker and this speaker is going to just say the right thing and I'm going to walk out. That's called inspiration. Inspiration is like almost like a drug. You just give yourself a little shot of inspiration. You go back and find yourself in the same spot. Let me tell you, the only thing that can really give you power to rise above, and we're not talking about medicating it for a little bit. We're not talking about numbing ourselves. We're talking about everything changes. Perspective changes. When the updraft of the Spirit begins to lift you up to a place where everything looks different, where you understand the storm from a different perspective. You understand what you're going through from a different perspective. I can't take you there. I can't speak you there. I can't inspire you there. But when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, if you'll wait on the Lord, hallelujah, if you'll get in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting you, hallelujah, I'm not trusting my understanding. I'm not trusting, Lord Jesus, all of these methods and trying to live for God without prayer, without spending time in the Word of God, without letting the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. You're going to be challenged because you're going to find yourself down there again, struggling with the darkness. But they that wait upon the Lord, I wonder if somebody could lift your hands right now in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of the Lord, let your spirit wind blow in this place. Hallelujah. That's it. Just to think about the goodness of Jesus. Begin to get your mind off of what the rest of the day holds or what you've been struggling with this week or these last few months, and just begin to worship Him. Can you worship Him with me right now? Hallelujah. Just use your mouth to tell God how great that He is and how you feel about Him. Lord Jesus, You are the most powerful force in the universe. Your name is exalted above everything on the planet that's been named. The name of Jesus is above it all. And Lord, I have come here today to praise You. Oh God, I love You. Hallelujah. Come on, let it come out of your heart, not just your mouth, but let it come out of your innermost being. Lord Jesus, I praise You. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh God, I'm waiting on You right now. Let Your spirit and wind blow in this place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, we're going to make a call for those who want to respond to the Lord by stepping forward. You're saying, in essence, I'm not going to try to climb up out of this by myself. I already tried that. I ended up with skinned knees and elbows and not much to show for my effort. I'm not going to trust on my willpower, on my internal determination to make this happen. But Lord, I need Your Spirit. I need You to lift me up, and I want to come to wait on You and come to communicate, Lord, that I'm trusting You in this situation, in my life, what I'm facing right now. Amen. The distress that I'm in right now, Lord God, I'm believing that You are going to, through Your power, lift me. I'm not going to trust my own effort to do this. As they begin to sing again, if that's the way you feel in your heart right now, I want to invite you to come forward, and just we're going to pray together for a moment, because the power of the Spirit is here to heal, to save, to lift somebody up, to deliver somebody from the situation and position that they find themselves in. So as they begin to sing this song again, I open this altar for anybody that would like to come forward and say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm not trusting myself. Lord Jesus, I'm trusting You in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.